ब्रज जन रंजना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना के रावण चारी जमुना की रावण चारी जय राधा मारा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Pri Radha Kachoja Ashtotar Pishishrimat Abhaye Charanaravindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shil Prabhupada Kija Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Pri Radha Kachoja Ashtotar Pishishrimat Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Kija Ananta Kuri Vaishnavrinda Kija Iskan Vibhidi Sangstapakacharya Shila Prabhupada Kija Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Kijai प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवरी धाम की जय। गंग माय जमुना माय की जय। श्रीमती तुलसी देवी की जय। श्रीमती भक्ति देवी की जय। शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text number 5. Right? Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Antadhano Nabasvatyam Antadhano Navasvatyam Havirdanam Avindata Havirdanam Avindata Yaindram Ashvahartaram Yaindram Ashvahartaram Vidvanapi Najagnivan Vidvanapi Najagnivan Antadana Navasvatyam Avidana Mavindata Yaindram Ashvahartaram Vidvanapi Najagnivan Antadana Navasvatyam Avidanam Avindata Yaindram Ashvahartaram Vidvanapi Najagnivan. Antadana Navasvatyam Avirdanam Avindata Yahindram Ashvahartaram Vidvanapina Jaknivan Antadana Navasvatyam Avirdanam Anindata Yahindram Ashvahartaram Yaindram Ashvahartaram Vidvanapina Jagnivan Antadana Navasvatyam Avirdanam Avindata Yaindram Ashvahartaram Vidvanapina Jagnivan Thank you. సరస్వత్యం భవేదానమవిందత. లేడీస్ అంతదానవస్వత్యం భవేదానమవిందత. ఇంద్రమాశ్వహర్తారాం విద్వానపి న జగ్నివాన్ అంతర్దానః. The king of the name Antardana, Abhasvatyam, unto his wife Nabhavasti, Havidanam, of the name Havidan, Avindata, obtained, Yaha, who, Indram, King Indra, Ashvahartaram, who was stealing the horse of his father, Vidvanapi, although he knew it, Jignivan, did not kill. Translation: Maharaj Antardhan had another wife named Nabhasvati, and by her he was happy to beget another son named Havardhan. Since Maharaj Antardhan was very liberal, he did not kill Indra while the demigod was stealing his father's horse at the sacrifice. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It is understood from various scriptures and Purans that the king of heaven, Indra, was very expert in stealing and kidnapping. He would steal anything without being visible to the proprietor, and he could kidnap another's wife without being detected. Once he raped the wife of Gautam Muni by using his disappearing art, and similarly, by becoming invisible, he stole the horse of Maharaj Prithu. Although in human society such activities are considered abominable, the demigod Indra was not considered to be degraded by them. Although Antardhan could understand that King Indra was stealing the horse of his father, he did not kill Indra, for he knew that if one who is very powerful sometimes commits an abominable act, it should be disregarded. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 30, it is clearly stated, Apichet sudracharo vachite mam mananya bak sadhureva samantavya samyagvya vastito hi saha. Thus, the Lord says that even if a devotee commits an abominable act, he should be considered asadhu, or a pious man, because of his unflinching devotion to the Lord. The devotees of the Lord, never willing to commit any sinful act, but sometimes they may commit something abominable due to their previous habits. Such acts should not be taken very seriously. However, because the devotees of the Lord are very powerful, whether they are on the heavenly planets are on this planet, if by chance they commit something abominable, it should not be taken into account, but should be overlooked. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Vangum Langayate Gadim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Paramanandam Aravam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So, this particular verse is talking about the son of Maharaj Prithu, Jitashva. These kings in the Vedic times, they were very powerful. So similarly, their sons were also very powerful. In fact, one of the responsibility of the king is to see that he has a qualified son to take over the kingdom. And usually, the oldest son would become the next king. Just like after Pandu, his son Yudhisthira was to be the king, right? And the other brothers of the oldest son, they would assist him in managing the kingdom. That was the system. Usually, in this material world, the living entities that are here in this material world, they're after sense gratification in different forms. The idea is sense gratification. In a big city like Bombay, right, there's a big influx of people coming from different parts of India. Every day, I forget the number, but so many thousands of people, you know, from outside of Bombay are coming to settle in Bombay. Right? So much so that there's a political agitation that, you know, Bombay's Maharashtra and it should be for Marathis and no Biharis, no UP Bias should come here and settle in Hamara Bombay. Right? So why so many people are interested to come to Bombay? Because they think that by coming to Bombay, they'll be able to increase their sense gratification. So there's a big arrangement. This is a huge city. So many people are living here. And there's a big problem with everything. Even water. Drinking water. Right now there's an acute shortage because there's so many people that live in the city, it requires, you know, thousands and millions of gallons of water every day to try to satisfy the requirement for water. And it's a big endeavor. And that's actually the lakes that supply the water. There's some Tulsi Lake and Vaitaranya Lake, right? They're far distance. They're not next door. They have to pump that water, you know, hundreds of kilometers so that it can get here. Right? And a lot of times, they break into the pipes and steal the water. Or the pipes break and so much water is wasted. So why all this elaborate arrangement? Right? Simply for sense gratification. So many famous actors in Bollywood, right? They came from outside Bombay. They were unknown. There's many examples. They were unknown. Nobody knew them. And they became famous in the movies and very popular and wealthy, etc., etc. Right? The fabulous success stories of Bombay Bollywood. So a lot of people that come, they have this kind of idea of if you go to Bombay, then you know you could get lucky and be successful like Amitabh Bachchan and you'll be famous. And again, sense gratification. So this whole arrangement, this huge city with all its difficulties and all its problems and all its situations is there and maintained and organized and held together by one desire, sense gratification. Shishi Radha Rasbihari Gornitai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kidai. There are so many businessmen. And at a great expense and a great difficulty, they open up a big factory. Right? They require so much land, so much capital. They have to involve so much labor. Right? They want to manufacture something. It's not an easy thing. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of ability to be able to organize. But they do it, and they take that hard labor, right? And they're always under constant anxiety that my factory is running properly, that I'm not being cheated by the workers. Right? But why do they take this intense labor to make a gigantic factory and keep it running and keep it going? Why? Sense gratification. So huge cities, big factories, they're all about one thing, sense gratification. Even so-called scientific discoveries, right? Scientific discoveries. What is that camera that's in outer space? The Hubble? Hubble. The Hubble camera was developed in the United States by NASA. So the idea was that the camera would go out in outer space and it would have a better view of the stars and the sun and the moon and the different planets. And it would be able to take pictures and transmit it back to Earth so the scientists could study. So the Hubble telescope was sent out there by satellite, by rocket, and then it began to orbit the Earth. But they made mistakes. They made the gigantic mirror that's in the camera, it was too thin. So when it, due to this centrifugal force of the rocket that was going into outer space, it changed the shape. It didn't have that concave shape anymore. So it was useless. They got it out there and they found out that it was totally useless. And the computer didn't work. So many problems with that telescope. Even though so many great scientific minds were involved in developing it, still it was not functioning properly. So why do they take such huge endeavors, such risk for scientific discoveries? Right? Sense gratification. It's all about sense gratification. Whether it's huge cities, gigantic factories, right? Our scientific discoveries, it's all about sense gratification. Now there's a different type. And these sense gratifiers are usually known as the karmis, right? Working hard, getting some fruit, and then trying to enjoy the fruit. Another type of person is not interested in such gross sense gratification, but they're interested in a little more subtle variety of sense gratification. Right? Somebody who wants to become perfect in music. Sa-re-ga-ma-pa-da-ni-sa. Right? They're studying music. Right? Just those simple notes come in a huge variety of melodies. Right? And some people are very much absorbed in arranging those notes in a certain way, so a new sound comes. Right? And this has been going on since the time of Lord Brahma. Right? So you might have some very complicated arrangement, like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, right? or some other pop song. Right? But it's all sense gratification. On a different level. It's not so gross, it's a little more subtle. But it's sense gratification. And they think, oh, Beethoven, Mozart, Hari Prasad Chamrausi, such great musicians. But it's all sense gratification. Or someone may be performing some yoga, various tedious postures that they sit in, right? Controlling the breathing, right? Restraining the breathing a certain way, becoming powerful so that they can get some siddhi. What is that siddhi? To be able to become larger than the largest, or smaller than the smallest. To be able to walk on the water. Right? To be able to fly in the sky. Some siddhi. Srila Prabhupada talks about one yogi who had some power. And this one, he was a small, he saw this happen, right? Talks about it in a class. That there was some yogi who could, he said, what do you want? They said they wanted dalim, anjir, right? Pomegranates. Right? So he said, go in the other room. And there in the other room were pomegranates from Afghanistan. Right? Not even local mal, Afghanistan. Right? So some persons are interested to perform these tedious exercises to get some yoga siddhi. But ultimately that is also sense gratification. And then there's another type of person who understands that this hard effort at maintaining huge cities or working hard for maintaining gigantic factories, it's all useless. At the end of the day, what is the value? After all, no matter how big a factory you have, when you sit down at breakfast, you get two slices and one cup of tea. It's not because you have a huge factory that you can eat a whole loaf of bread and 10 cups of tea. No. Same. Two slices, one cup of tea. So they realize this, right? And they think, I don't want to do that. That's a waste of time. There must be something else. There must be something spiritual. And these mystic yogi siddhis also, they don't, at the end of the day, even the scientists are performing all the mystic siddhis, right? They can fly in the sky. They have rockets. They have airplanes. They already perfected that siddhi mechanically. Now, what's the use of sitting down, bending your toes, putting your head behind your foot behind your head, right? You just get in a plane and go. Floating on the water. Big ships are there. Under the water, submarines. Right? So basically, they've already perfected mechanically all of the yoga siddhis. What is the use? So they think that, let me find out what's spiritual. Because this, the karmis, what they're doing is not spiritual. What the yogis are doing is not spiritual. So they have a process of neti-neti, not this, not this. They reject everything with the idea that they'll come to understand what is spiritual. But this is also sense gratification. Right? It's also some self-interest. They're self-interested. They want something. They want to get some material gain. And what is that material gain? They want freedom from the suffering, freedom from the difficulties. They're also considering what's in it for me. So all of the results of these things are temporary. For the karmis, no matter how big their factory is, no matter how famous you become in the city of Bombay, right? One day it's over. It doesn't last forever. Amitabh Bachchan just found out the other day that he's got cirrhosis of the liver. And everybody was surprised. He's got cirrhosis of the liver. He doesn't even drink. He's a teetotaler, they say. So how did he get cirrhosis of the liver? Well, one time when he was on the set, I forget which movie. I don't watch his movies anyway. But he got in an accident. And he was rushed to the hospital. And thousands of people came forward to donate blood. Well, it just so happened that the transfusion of blood that he got had hepatitis B in it. So for that, he got a virus, and now his liver is turning into a rock. Happens to the best of us. What could he do? Who would know? Right? But it means the time is ticking, and all of the fame, all of the glamour is becoming finished. So it's all temporary. Antavat Tesham Palam. This is these fruits, these benefits. They get over very quickly. But a devotee like Prithu Maharaj is an example for us. Because he was not interested in sense gratification. Prithu Maharaj was simply interested in an opportunity, in a chance to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. Devotees of the Lord like that, they're satisfied in any condition. In any condition they're satisfied. Srila Prabhupada is a good example. When he was living in Radha Damodar in a very simple manner, very simple. If you've ever gone to Radha Damodar and see Srila Prabhupada's rooms, very simple. But later on, when he had so many disciples and he had rooms all over the world. Nice room in Juhu, right? This Los Angeles garden. Right? He said, actually, I have my three favorite places in the world. Was his garden in Los Angeles, his rooms in Vrindavan, and Juhu Beach. And he used to take a walk every day on Juhu Beach. He would go from here, you know, in the morning and walk for an hour, then come back and greet the deities. That time the deities were in a little hut right out here in front. And then he would give class. But he remembered those days when he lived in Radha Damodar. And those were very good days, right? And he remembered the days when he just was starting the Krishna consciousness movement on 26 Second Avenue, right? And was trying to inspire some people to come to Krishna consciousness. And every little thing that someone did, he saw it as a great thing. One time a bum came into the lecture and he didn't say anything. You know what a bum is? Huh? You know what a bum is? You don't know what a bum is. Okay. Well, let's see. What's the Hindi word? Tapuri? I don't know. But in America, they have these people that are homeless. They don't have any home. And their only activity is to drink alcohol. So they beg on the street. They get, you know, a few dollars. They go buy some wine or some whiskey, and they drink it, and then they pass out on the sidewalk. And they're called bums. Now you understand? Okay. So one bum came into Srila Prabhupada's lecture. And he didn't say anything to anyone. He had a roll of toilet paper. He walked over to the bathroom. He opened the bathroom. He put the toilet paper in. He closed the door and he walked out. And Srila Prabhupada looked at the devotees and said, he just started his devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada was seeing what every little thing somebody did as an opportunity for them to advance in devotional service. Now, they have no self-expectation, but they have great expectation for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? Again, Srila Prabhupada's example, he wanted persons to become happy. And he knew that the only way one can become happy is by rendering devotional service, by trying to satisfy Krishna instead of satisfying your own senses. That's the only way anyone can become happy. So now, who would imagine an old man with no money, no influence, right? Some grandiose idea that somebody's going to take the Krishna consciousness in a place where their very existence is illicit sex life, intoxication, and meeting and in gambling. These things are glorified like anything. And they have a whole city dedicated to gambling. A whole city. Everything in the city is about gambling. It's called Las Vegas. Right? Even in the bathrooms, they have gambling machines. You can put money in and crank the handle and see if you win. It's called a slot machine. The whole city is dedicated to gambling. And everyone eating meat, everyone taking intoxication, illicit sex life. And he went there with a simple prayer to Lord Krishna. My dear Lord, I don't know why you've brought me to this place. It's simply filled with passion and ignorance. But I have faith that your message is very powerful. And if they just get an opportunity to hear, then they can change themselves. They can become your devotees. So such an impossible thing, right? But it easily happened. Huh? By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. People began to chant. And then he went to the park, Thompson Square Park. It's still there. You can go and visit it. And he began to chant. And some boys came and they began to dance. And then slowly, slowly he instructed them about the four regulator principles. Right? And they became devotees. So nothing, there's nothing that a pure devotee cannot do. Anything and everything is obtainable for them. Srila Prabhupada said, as a householder, I had some children. I took sannyas, I gave them up. Right? But now I have so many children. I have so many sons. Right? And they're such that they're ready to die for me also. So nothing, there's nothing that's not obtainable for a pure devotee of the Lord. Why? Because of their purity of purpose. Their only desire is to be purely engaged in the service of the Lord. They don't have any other desire. They want to satisfy Krishna. And Prithu Maharaj was such a devotee. So therefore, when Indra came to disturb his sacrifice by stealing the horse, Vijitashva, he saw that Indra had come. Nobody else could see him. He disappeared. Indra had a power that he could disappear. He could become invisible. Right? There used to be a TV series called The Invisible Man. Right? So he could become, he had this mystic power. He could become invisible. And he used to use that for some nefarious activities, as mentioned here. And he stole the horse. But Vijitasva, he could see, the son of Prithu Maharaj, he could see that it was Indra taking away the horse. And when he went after him. But then he realized that it was Indra, the king of heaven. And he's doing this. So he didn't kill him. Right? He didn't kill him. He understood that this is a great personality and it wouldn't be appropriate. And Indra became very compassionate towards him for that. And the same power that he had, he gave him that also, that mystic power that he could become invisible. And that's why it's referred here as Antardana. Right? Antardana means that he could also become invisible to others. But even though Indra came to disturb the sacrifice of Maharaj Prithu. Maharaj Prithu was performing his 100th Ashvamedha Yajna. He had already performed 99. So one more makes 100. And Indra became envious. So he wanted to stop that 100th sacrifice. He didn't want Prithu Maharaj to complete it. Right? So he tried to make trouble by stealing the horse that was meant for the sacrifice. And Maharaj Prithu was also powerful. If he wanted to, he could have completed the sacrifice. Who could stop him? His son could have killed Indra. So powerful they were. But still they didn't. They were equipoised. And they realized, okay, let Indra have his way. Let us not do 100. Now this mentality so much so pleased the Lord that the Lord personally came to Prithu Maharaj and gave his darshan. So much pleased he was with Prithu Maharaj's equipoised mentality. That he was the same. Because whatever he was doing again was for the pleasure of the Lord. The 100th sacrifice was also for the pleasure of the Lord. And if there was some disturbance, all right, it's also for the pleasure of the Lord. I'll not do it. Equipoised. The Lord was so pleased with Prithu Maharaj, he personally came. And Indra was just behind him. We have to remember, Indra is also Vishnu's devotee. He protects Indra. And this time he came and he requests Prithu Maharaj, you please forgive him. He made some mistake. And because Indra could understand how much favor Lord Vishnu had for Prithu Maharaj, for his wonderful qualities, Indra fell down at the feet of Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj immediately picked him up and embraced him and said, no, 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 not like that. So Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, was so inclined towards Prithu Maharaj, he said, please take any benediction you want. Any benediction. Anything you want. So he said, I want a green card and go to America, right? No, 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 not like that. He said, my dear Lord, why should I ask? I have everything. Why should I ask anything from you? Simply, I want your pure devotional service. So this is the mentality of the pure devotees of the Lord, is that they are very much interested in serving the Lord. So there's one nice verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna was speaking to Uddhava. and that verse is in the 11th canto, chapter 20, text number 17. So I'll just read that verse. Nrihadeham adyasulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam gurukarnadaram mayanukulena navasvavitaram pumang bhavadhim nataretsa atmaha. So Lord Krishna is explaining the process of devotional service to Uddhava. And Uddhava was a little perplexed because after all the Vedas, they come from Krishna. Krishna is the author of the Vedas. And in it he talks about pious activities, impious activities. These are all concerned in the Vedas. So he's questioning Krishna. What is this? You say we rise above pious and impious. How is that? So in that chapter, this verse comes. So, nriya deha, deham, it means the human body. So by this human body, you can get all benefits. And by the laws of material nature, you get this material body. Although it's sudurlabham, it's very rarely achieved. And Krishna says that this body is compared to a perfectly constructed boat. And what is the value of that boat? Is that it can take us across the material ocean. With this boat of the material body, we can cross the material ocean. It's perfectly set up for that. And who's the captain? The spiritual master. Right? Guru Karnadaram. The spiritual master is expert to guide us. Right? If you just have a boat, it doesn't work. You need a captain. Right? That's the spiritual master. But even though you have a boat, even though you have a captain, you need some... You need some wind, right? No wind, no go, right? So what is that wind? Krishna's instructions. Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita are the favorable winds, right? So you have this boat, this body. It's actually a very valuable thing. It can take us all the way across the material ocean, right? So it needs to be taken care of properly. Not for sense gratification, no. But for taking us out of this material world, we should see it properly. Under the guidance of the captain, right? Take advantage of Krishna's instructions. And finally, Krishna says, considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize this human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. It means suicide. Right? Killer of the soul. Atmahana. Right? So basically, everyone in this material world who's not engaged in devotional service, they are committing suicide. They're wasting this human form of life which has been given to us. We've gotten it somehow or another. It's very rarely achieved. But if we don't use it, all those persons that are not using it for developing Krishna consciousness, for getting out of this material world, they're wasting an opportunity. So the business of this Krishna consciousness movement is to somehow or another help people to start their devotional service, to wake up, to get out of the bodily concept of life, to become attracted by the message of Krishna so that they can go home back to Godhead. As we see in the example of Prithu Maharaj, he went back to the spiritual world. That should be our goal. We're not here for any other purpose. We should check our unwanted desires and weed them out so that we have the single desire to return back to the spiritual world. Of course, in the ultimate sense, a devotee is not concerned whether he's in heaven or hell, he's the same. Where they are, it doesn't matter to them. When Prithu Maharaj was getting trouble from Indra, he was the same. And when he was coming back to his kingdom after the sacrifice, after meeting Lord Vishnu, there was a huge reception. All of the streets were cleaned nicely. Fruits and flowers were decorating everyone's door. There were beautiful, expensive cloths made into flags hanging everywhere. And thousands of unmarried maidens came to greet him, beautifully dressed and decorated with golden ornaments. But he was the same. He wasn't changed. Right? So in whatever condition, they're always the same. We want to do that. We want to be there. And it happens by the process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada has kindly given us the wonderful opportunity of doing devotional service in Sri Sri Radha Rasvihari Mandir Temple. If we take this opportunity, then we can very easily cross over the ocean of material existence and, just like Prithu Maharaj, return home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very instructive class. Here it is mentioned, even though Maharaj Prithu's son saw Indra going away with the horse, he did not kill him. So my question is, Indra drank Amrit, so could he have killed him? Or is there any instance where any Indra killed in the history?
Well, I can't think of one offhand, but there must have been, because he could have killed him. He could have killed him, but he didn't. And I think the point that Srila Prabhupada is making, and thank you for reminding me about it in the purport, is that Vijatashva understood that Indra was a devotee of the Lord, and therefore, even though he was making some mistake here, he should not be punished for that. Right? And Srila Prabhupada talks about that in the purport, that devotees, someone who is coming out of conditional life still has conditional activities. Although they're engaged in a pure process, devotional service is a pure process. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, worshiping the deity in the temple, these are all pure activities. So it's kind of like the devotee has conditional activities and he has what Prabhupada calls constitutional activities. And just sometimes, due to the conditioning of previous activities, they kind of cross the line. And a devotee may commit something that is abominable, like Indra did. But because they're engaged in the process of devotional service, they shouldn't be condemned for that. Because by their devotional service, the effects are coming away from the conditional activities and more towards the constitutional activities of rendering service to Krishna. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Abhichet Sudaracharo Bhajte Mam Ananya Bhak. It's that service to Krishna. Right? It's very powerful. So even though somebody commits something wrong, because of that service, they'll become purified and they'll continue to progress forward. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport to that verse that we shouldn't expect to be able to get away with doing nonsense continuously and say, I'm a devotee, and or think I'm a big devotee, and I continually do nonsense. Right? But it may be that a devotee does something wrong. And we shouldn't be too heavy for that. So that it reminded me of an example. One of my godbrothers I met in Mayapur just at Gaur Purnima time. His name is Smarahari Prabhu. So he lived in Vrindavan in those early days when the temple just opened in 1975. To do devotional service in Vrindavan is very intense because it's directly Krishna's place. But anyway, there was a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada that came, and he was cooking for the devotees. He was also cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and his name was Anand, and they called him Anand Maharaj. So it just so happened that he was taking home some of the things, some of the atta or something. He was taking it back wherever he lived in Vrindavan. Maybe he lived in an ashram somewhere, I'm not sure. But I remember this devotee because he used to teach the devotees how to cook. So the devotees, the really good cooks in ISKCON, they used to go and get instructions from Anand how to make sabjis and different things. And he used to instruct them. Especially two cooks, Apurva Prabhu and Gopati. They were the famous cooks in ISKCON. So anyway, one day when they told Prabhupada he's taking this home, Prabhupada said, well, you know, it's all right. If a servant doesn't steal something, he's not a good servant. Prabhupada told the story about how his father used to keep some coin on the table. And every day he knew his servant was stealing that coin. Right? But he was confident that, okay, the servant he's stealing that coin, but he's getting that, so he'll be satisfied. He's not taking other things. So Prabhupada told that story. But then they complained again. They said, Anand's, he's still stealing, taking. So Prabhupada said, okay, tell him he has to go. He has to go. So the next day when Srila Prabhupada went out for his morning walk, Anand was standing there. Now the devotees had already told him, you got to go. So he was standing there, and he met Srila Prabhupada. And he said, so I can go? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can go. So then Prabhupada went on his walk. And Prabhupada turned to the devotees and said, you see a Vaishnav? We're throwing him out, but yes, he's asking permission. Can I go? That is a Vaishnav. So Srila Prabhupada saw the good in everyone. And this is the mentality of a devotee. The good is over-exemplified by the bad. Our mentality, the bad, whatever it is, outweighs the good. Right? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about having a mind like a bee or a mind like a fly. Right? The mind that's like a bee looks for the honey, the sweet things, the nectar. Right? And if you ever notice how bees, they take just a little bit of pollen. They don't even take everything. They just take a little pollen and they make a huge stock of honey. Bees. And flies? Flies look for the nasty places. They look for the dirty places. So in conditioned life, our minds are just like flies. And by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Gradually, gradually our minds will become bee-like. Is that okay?